When a disaster, natural or otherwise, hits a community, there's usually a group of people who follow to help. The assistance can range from search and rescue to rebuilding to organizing food to any number of other activities. This concept is called mass assault and has been around for almost 50 years. Samantha Montano joins me via Skype to talk more about this. She is a visiting assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Management at North Dakota State University. And Samantha, from an emergency management perspective, how do you look at sort of the cost benefit of this? Because it sounds like in some cases people are doing good work, but maybe in others they may just kind of be getting in the way.
So we have known about what researchers have called the mass assault that occurs during disasters for many, many decades. It is well recorded in the research that when a disaster happens, people and materials like donations and other resources converge on the impacted community. We also know from the research that this convergence that occurs is overwhelmingly out of like the goodness of people's hearts. It's pro-social behavior. People are wanting to help the people who have been affected by the disaster. So people are coming into the area with these good intentions. They do a lot of good. They fill in kind of the gaps that exist within that community and fill in what official first responders and kind of what I call the formal emergency management are unable to address. On the other hand, from a management perspective, sometimes there can be difficulties in managing this influx of people and the influx of donations.
Does the usefulness and the helpfulness of these people depend on sort of their areas of expertise or how good they are at what it is that they are trying to do?
So some of the people who converge on the community have previous disaster experience, have some kind of skill that is particularly useful for addressing the needs in that community, have maybe even been through a disaster themselves. So those volunteers that are converging tend to be able to kind of zero in on what the needs of the community are and are more familiar with the more formal emergency management system. And so they are more likely to be able to kind of integrate into that formal system. So in that sense, certainly some people tend to be more of a help than others, although I will say it really depends on what the needs of the community are in that moment. So some of the things that we need people to help with, like doing search and rescue, you know, it would be ideal if people had some kind of training or experience doing that before they go out to do that type of dangerous work. On the other hand, there are some unmet needs in the community, like needing an extra set of hands to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, where, you know, you don't need to have a lot of highly specialized skills to be able to do that.
Well, how well do those tend to match? How well are the people who are looking to help able to match their skills or what they're able to offer with what's actually needed?
It really is going to vary from disaster to disaster. So some people who show up on scene, we call them spontaneous volunteers. They are people who are not associated with any kind of organization or agency in any way. And they've, you know, heard about the disaster on the news or they live close by. And so they've experienced it to a certain extent. And they kind of just show up on scene. And for them, it's kind of a hit or miss whether they are able to match their skills with the needs of the people in the community.
With all of these people converging on the site of a disaster, it must be said that not all of them are going there with pure intentions. I mean, how prevalent is it that people are going there to defraud people or to try to loot and steal or other things that are maybe less desirable behavior?
It is actually extremely rare for people to go into a community that's experienced a disaster with bad intentions. Part of the research that talks about this mass assault has also considered human behavior during disasters. And it is quite clear from the research that crime rates don't usually go up during a disaster. Most of the time, they actually go down. Obviously, there's always a case here and there of you know, fraudulent claims or some kind of other criminal behavior, but it is really quite rare.
Have emergency managers made any effort to try to sort of harness the power of this group of people and organize them a little bit better to say, okay, look, we really need people who have boats to go out and try to rescue people, or we really need people to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or we really need X. If you can do that, come to this spot, we'll get you deployed, we'll help you figure out where exactly to go, as opposed to people just sort of randomly showing up and trying to help?
Yeah, so this again is going to vary from disaster to disaster, but there definitely have been efforts across the country by local emergency management agencies, but also local nonprofits that are involved in disaster work to plan for this influx of volunteers and try to coordinate them. So sometimes you'll see something called a volunteer reception center that is opened in the community. Sometimes it's virtual. So there, some cities have like a website where they try to have people sign up to volunteer through and then kind of give them an assignment to go do out in the community. Other times these volunteer reception centers are actual in-person places where if you want to volunteer, you go and show up and they connect you with an organization that you can work through.
All right. That's Samantha Montano, a visiting assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Management at North Dakota State University. Samantha, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.